This last conversation will bring our series on homelessness from the outside in to an end. And to finish it, we wanted to give Scott Morshige the last word. As the new state coordinator on homelessness, not yet in his job a month, Scott Morshige's work as the former head of the advocacy group Focused is still very fresh. Now his work will continue to be informed by the advocacy of others as he and the governor's leadership team on homelessness shape policy. To wrap up the many themes that emerged during this week, Scott Morshige joins us now in our studio. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thank you again, Beltan.
As we heard throughout the week, from many different voices, community voices around the country, national voices, Housing First seems to be the real bedrock, and we keep using that term, bedrock, of how communities are either reinvigorating their push to end homelessness or have been able to do it. This morning we were to talk with Lloyd Pendleton, but we had a real problem with the line and we were not able to be able to speak with him. But Utah, in 10 years, set out to end homelessness. And he was not someone who originally believed in Homeless First, Housing First, until he saw what happened with the chronic homeless population that was used in the pilot project. Put 17 people into a project, and 22 months later, they were still there, which seemed to thwart the idea that you need to get people who are chronically homeless into a, you know, housing readiness mode before they sort of earn their way into housing. That all brings up the fact that maybe we're looking at a really deep paradigm shift that we haven't quite been able to affect yet. Is that how you see it?
Well, I think right now we're seeing the start of a big change in thinking among government service providers as well as other private funders about how we approach the issue of homelessness. And I think Housing First is proven to work. It's evidence-based. It's a best practice that's worked in other communities across the country as well as here locally. We have right now a state Housing First program that's been very effective. Over the past year, we've housed 75 of the most chronically homeless individuals on the island of Oahu and placed them in permanent housing with 100% retention. Similarly, the city and county of Honolulu has a Housing First program that also has been very effective and has moved a number of individuals off the streets where they've been staying for a very long period of time into permanent residences of their own. So I think it's something that we're beginning to scale locally and also look at how can we incorporate a Housing First philosophy across all of our different types of housing resources.
So talk a little bit about that, because we've talked about the model and sort of what that means, but in terms of the philosophy as you see it, what is that?
That the goal in providing homeless services is to get individuals and families into permanent housing as quickly as you can. Shelter is not the end point, but it's a means to an end. There's still a role, I think, for our emergency and transitional shelter programs in a Housing First model. And what we're really trying to do is make sure that everybody across our system sees permanent housing as the ultimate goal, because I think that's really where we want to head.
The shelter idea being that is the stopgap moving someone into permanent housing. But we've had a lot of conversation around shelters. And when we've talked to the mayors this week, there seems to be a real wide range of understanding of what Housing First is, or even buy-in for Housing First. So how do you see a movement to align all of Hawaii's counties if this is going to be how the state is going to drive the end of homelessness forward?
Well, I think, you know, like I said, this is a pretty significant change in thinking. I think there's been a lot of positive steps. The very fact that, you know, the different mayors and other government officials are now referencing Housing First and also permanent supportive housing in the language, I think is a really good sign. What we're trying to do now is look at Housing First not just as a specific program, but again, this philosophy of how do we use all of the resources at our disposal, outreach, shelter, and so on, and incorporate Housing First throughout all of this. For example, in Kaka'ako, you know, what we're doing is we really started with a focus on data, looking at how many people are in the area, what are different levels of need. And what we saw from the data in Kaka'ako is that many of the individuals and families there are there due to economic factors. There's a very low income in the area. And for that reason, I think using shelters as interim housing or bridge housing on the path to permanent homes was something we felt was appropriate. And so we've been trying to link families in the area to shelter where they have a place to get necessary services, build their income up, and then we want to help move them from there as quickly as we can into permanent homes.
But for individuals and for homeless youth, et cetera, there are different strategies that have to come into play with that. And in some cases, even just getting the data. Last night on Town Square, we talked about how it's very tough to wrap your arms around the issue of youth homelessness because in part, those counts are so low, they're so undercounted, and just even finding them. But yet the service providers are you know, tracking how many people they're talking to and the relationships that they have to build to be able to help somebody transition into all of that. So getting the data that's accurate, plus the fact that you have lots of different pots of money involved with all of this, how do you see being able to streamline better data at the same time that hopefully you're able to streamline more pots of money into looking at how do we use this money in the most effective way and not just keep putting it into sweeps or paying law enforcement or doing all the other things that happen, fighting a lawsuit now for the city that seems to not come up with a really good endpoint that means the end of homelessness?
Well, I think the start of all of this is really having coordination and alignment across all of our different levels of government, city, state, and federal. And I think with the governor's leadership team on homelessness, and you look at the composition and who's on that team, we really are having the start of having coordination, not only among the people providing the direct programmatic services, but also among those who make the decisions about resource allocation.
Policy.
Yes, and I think that's really key. I think what we want to do as we move forward is also have alignment not only among our government resources, but also among contributions from the business and the philanthropic sector. And I think I've been listening to your interviews that you've been doing all week long, and I think in some of the other communities that have made significant strides, that's been really key, of having the alignment not only among the government resources at the table, but also among you know business, philanthropic, and the faith-based communities as well.
And that was a really big theme that we heard emerge from, you know, Portland, from Houston, L.A., Seattle in some ways, although Seattle is particularly challenged because they started with housing first, kind of let it go fallow, and then now they're trying to ramp it up again, and that caused them to, you know, lose some ground on it. But all of these communities are saying you have to have buy-in across the board and bring together both the usual and unusual suspects. Are there unusual suspects, as Beth Sanders from Community Solutions keeps trying to tell us we need to have? Are those people here that you think that are just beginning to emerge now?
Well, I think that there are efforts going on underway right now. In the philanthropic community, for example, I know that the Hawaii Community Foundation has led a group of local funders to invest in an initiative to address the needs of homeless families, the Housing ASB initiative, which I think has made great strides so far. In addition, in the business sector, I know the Waikiki tourism industry has been supportive of a lot of the efforts with IHS and some other housing programs. And I think there's also been discussions recently with the faith-based community. So I think we're starting to have some of that initial dialogue. So I think we're moving in the right direction, definitely.
And before we say goodbye to you, is there a particular end to something that you see happening now? I mean, something that you want to have happen that's on your to-do list that you'd like to have us know about now as we look at the next 6 months to a year?
Well, I think definitely we're looking at all of our existing resources throughout the state as well as the city. I think trying to make sure that we maximize the efficiency of all those resources, as well as look at whenever we're even thinking about building up shelter, that we're not only looking at the temporary and the immediate, but any idea that we have for building shelter also has a plan for the long term. And ideally, you know, how can we use temporary shelter space to possibly convert into permanent long-term affordable housing over a period of time?
I wish we had more time, as always, but we will in future. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks again.
Scott Murashige is the Hawaii State Coordinator on Homelessness.
Realize what we've been through. Roses do grow in our hearts. We can be so impatient, restless sometimes. Never will I stray from your good foundation, yes. Soon as we get stuck in hard days, we get up 2 days to rise. Yeah.